my calendar that far in advance. The 19th, August 19th. Alright. So, last week, actually I guess it was 2 weeks ago, last week, I think something else happened. Either way, the last time that we learned, we began discussing the alternate version of this bracha, the, I guess we'll call it the standard version, certainly for Ashkenazim, is v'saveinu mituvecha. And the alternate version, which is brought by the Gra, among others, is the version of v'saveinu mituva, and satisfy us from its good. So we discussed last week one approach of what the what it means from its good, and the possibility that it means from the good of the bracha, or even if it means from the land. But the sevia, the satisfaction from what you have, and the incredible bracha that it is for a person to be happy with what they have. And people, they Gemara says, Yeshlo mana. Wrote some asayim. The person has 100, he wants 200, he has 200, he wants 400, so there's a great bracha in being happy with what a person has. So that's the general approach that we developed last week. I wanted to discuss two other ideas this week, and then I guess we'll see how much time we have left. Either we'll finish with a couple small ideas about the end of the bracha tonight, or else we will try and finish it next week before Bein Hazmanim. So the Bach in Orach Chaim, Siman Reish Ches, the Bach Os Ches. So the Bach is a commentary on the tour, and the halacha in Reish Ches is the halachos of the of basically Mizonos, and included in there is the bracha achron of Mizonos, the bracha of Al Mechia. And the tour there quotes from, I believe, his father, the Rosh, that he says there are some who say that you should say in Al Mechia, v'nochal mipiria v'nisba mituva, and says the tour, V'ein la'omra, you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't say v'nochal mipiria v'nisba mituva, because, and you know, that which we want Eretz Yisrael is not for the, you know, to just enjoy the nice fruit of Eretz Yisrael. That's not why we want it. And therefore, he says that even though there is a minhag to say it, that you shouldn't say it. So the Bach there comes to defend the minhag, that which we say, v'nochal mipiria v'nisba mituva, which is the normal custom, is to say it. The Bach comes to explain, he says, I don't see what's the problem with it. And the Bach comes to explain what we mean when we say v'nochal mipiria v'nisba mituva. And I believe that the Bach explains there, we can extrapolate, we can borrow the same idea to our bracha here of the same lashon, the nisba mituva and sabenu mituva. So the Bach explains that the Shechina, the divine presence, dwells in the land of Eretz Yisrael, and the Shechina, and not just that, you know, God has, you know, a penthouse somewhere in Yerushalayim. But what it means that the Shechina is in Eretz Yisrael is that the Shechina is actually besocha aretz. The Shechina is actually literally in the land of Eretz Yisrael. The land of Eretz Yisrael is the actual land itself, is the place of residence where the Shechina resides. And the heros of Eretz Yisrael, the fruit, the produce of Eretz Yisrael, they are yonek, they get their nourishment, their sustenance from that Kedusha, which comes from the Shechina, the Perus of Eretz Yisrael, that they have this, the energy that they get, so to speak, comes from the ground from which they grow, and the ground from which they grow is imbued with the Shechina, is imbued with divine presence, is imbued with this spiritual reality, this spiritual presence. And therefore, the the Peros themselves, they have inculcated in them this kedusha that comes from their roots. And says the Bach, and this he explains the verse in the Torah, the Pasuk says, when it talks about that not doing Averus and listening to the Torah, not doing all of the Toevas in Eretz Yisrael, in the land of Israel, so the Bach said, the Pasuk says, V'lo titame es ha'aretz asher atem yoshvim ba, and you shall not defile, you shall not impurify the land that you are on which you are dwelling, asher ani shochein besocha, in which I dwell, ki ani Hashem shochein besoch bnei Yisrael, because I am Hashem, who dwells amongst bnei Yisrael. So the Bach explains the pasuk, the progression of the pasuk. The pasuk first says, don't be metame the land that you live in, because I am shochein in it, I reside in it, because I, Hashem, reside in Bnei Yisrael. Says the Bach, what's the order of the Pasuk? What's the connection from one step of the Pasuk to the next? So the Bach says, how are you metame the land? How do you impurify the land? You defile the land by doing averus, by doing the misdeeds. You chase away the Shechina, you chase divine the actual land of Eretz Yisrael, right? The verse says, "Asher Asher ani shochein besocha." Hashem says, "I, Hashem, live in the land itself, in Eretz Yisrael. I am in the actual land, and you, by doing misdeeds in the land of Israel, will cause the siluk hashchina. You will cause the Shechina, the divine presence, to depart from the land, which leads to the siluk hashchina, which leads to the Shechina leaving from Bnei Yisrael." Why? Because, as the Bach explains, this is now how you read the verse. Until now, Bnei Yisrael are eating the peros, they're eating the fruit of the land of Israel, which received their growth, their sustenance from the land of Eretz Yisrael, from the land in which the Shechina lived. The fruit of Eretz Yisrael have that divine sanctity, that kedusha, which came from growing out of land that the Shechina was literally living in the land itself. And then when Klal Yisrael and the Jewish people are acting properly, the Shechina is in the land, and Bnei Yisrael are eating, the Jewish people are eating the fruit that are the produce of that land, and thereby they are literally consuming the fruit which was produced out of the sanctity of the Shechina. They have, through that, a direct connection to, they are internalizing into themselves Hashem's presence. And that's the symbolically that their relationship with Eretz Yisrael, that they are thereby keeping their Kedusha through maintaining the Kedusha, maintaining the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael. But now, when they are mitame the land, now when they, so to speak, chase the Shechina out of the land, they chase the divine presence out of the land, so now Hashem is gone from the land, and the fruit are now getting their energy, their nourishment, they are being yonik, they are nursing from a land which is a void. We've discussed before, I think, that the idea of impurity comes from the vacancy that exists from the departure of something that was previously there, of the kedusha, of the sanctity that was previously there. A dead body is the highest form of impurity, because it's a cavity in which there used to be a soul. There used to be the highest level of sanctity, and now when the person dies, that soul leaves. And the void which is formed by the departure of that spirituality, of that kedusha, forms, that's where tumah comes from. And we discussed at length exactly why that is and how that is. But the same thing, that the land of Eretz Yisrael was occupied by the Shechina, by the divine presence. And now you've chased the Shechina away through ignoring the will of Hashem. You've chased the Shechina out, you left a void, and now that void becomes a place of tumah. That's what the verse means, that you lo titame es ha'aretz, you impurify the land that you're living on, which Hashem dwells in, because when you chase out the Shechina, when you chase out Hashem's presence, that creates, that void creates the tumah. And now the fruit are now being produced from that impurity, and Bnei Yisrael are consuming that, and now in place of that which previously they were directly connected to the Kedusha of the Shekhinah, now they're directly connected to the Tumah that they created, the impurity that they brought about through causing the departure of the Shekhinah. And therefore, says Hashem, be careful, because if you do that, then that you'll be impurify the land on which you're living, and then you will get that Tumah, you will get that impurity, and then you're going to be kicked out of the land. And that's the understanding of the verse according to the Bach, that the that Bnei Yisrael, the Tumah enters them when the Shekhinah leaves, when the divine presence leaves, the impurity, which is that, says the Bach, when we say in Alamechia, when we say in the blessing after having mezonos, you say v'sabenu v'nochal mipirya, we should eat of its fruits, v'nisba mituva, and be satisfied, be sated from its tov. That means, because there's two possibilities. The land can either have the tov, the good of the land, which does not just mean bounty and physical benefits. It means the spiritual good of the land. You can be sustained by the spiritual tov, the spiritual good of the land. Or it could, God forbid, be the opposite, that you've chased away the Kedusha and you're left with a land where you're not being set, you're still getting your tummy full, but you're no longer being sated, you're no longer being satiated through a means of Kedusha, through a consumption of something which is Kedusha. And the same thing in Shemona Esrei that we say in this bracha, right, the same bracha, Pnei Adama, v'sabenu mituva, and satisfy us from its good. Our tefillah is, our prayer is, that the produce that we get, that which we're sustained by, our sustenance, which we've explained before, the sustenance that we speak about is literally about, you know, actual produce, but it figuratively refers to all of our sustenance, right? Any means of our livelihood and how we survive, that should be coming from the tov of Hashem. It should be coming from a source of the Shekhinah. It should be coming from something which is rooted in Hashem's presence and Hashem's in a relationship with Hashem, and therefore we are being sustained on Kedusha, on the sanctity of a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and not, Chas v'shalom, God forbid, from the contrary, that our sustenance is something which is really bringing us down. That's v'sabenu mituva. One idea is the idea of the Iyun Tefillah. So the Iyun Tefillah says that we're referring to here when we say v'sabenu mituva, when we say that it should be sustained from its good, that what's the it? So the it, you know, we said the simple understanding means the land. The Iyun Tefillah says, which land are we referring to? It says the land is Eretz Yisrael, right? So if we're davening that of Sabenu Mituva is a bracha or a request for the sake of Eretz Yisrael. So says the Iyun Tefillah. So that's a very nice bracha for everyone living in Eretz Yisrael. Everyone living in Israel, that makes a lot of sense for them, right? But where does that leave us? Where does that leave the rest of the world? So the Iyun Tefillah says that this is still a tefillah, this is still a prayer for the rest of the world, for Chutz La'aretz, for the exile as well, because Hashem is only Doresh Kol Ha'aratzos, He only seeks out the welfare and the state of the rest of the world through His being Doresh Eretz Yisrael, through seeking out, through looking at Eretz Yisrael and being and taking interest in Eretz Yisrael, through that Hashem then kind of a spillover effect to the rest of the world. So by davening for the bracha of Eretz Yisrael, we're really indirectly davening for the tova, for the benefit of the rest of the world as well. So I just want to take a few minutes.
Trickle down kedusha.
That's right. So to maybe go a step deeper into maybe understand why it is. We had a similar type of discussion about when we discussed why we daven for the earlier in the bracha. We discussed that you daven for the wealthy, and why not just daven for the poor? Why daven for the wealthy who are going to then support the poor? We had that discussion. So a similar type of question here. It's very nice that it works, that you'll daven for Eretz Yisrael, and it will then spill over and then reach the rest of the world. But why do it that way? Why daven for Eretz Yisrael and then have that carry over to the rest of the world? Why not daven directly for the whole world? So conceptually explain why that is really exactly the way that makes sense. We really find in creation itself the root of this idea that all tova, all good of the rest of the world comes through Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban, in his introduction to the Torah and his introduction to Chumash, he quotes the Chazal, quotes the Medrash, that says that Shlomo HaMelech cultivated every type of produce in the world, all kinds of exotic fruits and all kinds of things that only grow in certain climates. He cultivated all of them in Yerushalayim. And the Ramban explains, how does that work? Why was he able to do that? Because all of the capacity for growth of all produce anywhere in the world, when the world was created, it was first placed in Yerushalayim. It was first built into Yerushalayim. And from there, it is disseminated to the rest of the world. From there, there's a connection, so to speak, a line that goes from Yerushalayim to everywhere else in the world. And the whether this is a physical thing, or probably it really is a more something of a more spiritual nature, that there's no actual pipeline going from Yerushalayim to connect to China or whatever it is, but there's in a spiritual sense, in the spiritual root of where this growth comes from, that it all starts in Yerushalayim. It originates in Yerushalayim, and from there it disseminates to the rest of the world, each to its place. And Shlomo HaMelech, with his chachma, with his wisdom, he was able to discern the location of each of these points of origin, and to plant there, on that point of origin of wherever the tropical Caribbean fruits grow, the spiritual, the source in Yerushalayim that reaches to Jamaica or wherever it is and grows tropical fruits there, Shlomo HaMelech was able to discern where in Yerushalayim that originated, and he could plant on that spot those things which grow only in that region, in that climate, and was able to grow those things in Eretz Yisrael. That's the nature of creation, was set up such that bracha and growth, the capacity for that, begins in Eretz Yisrael, and really in the center of Eretz Yisrael, in the heart of Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim. We discussed in the past the idea that Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, represents hashgacha, represents a direct relationship with Hashem, and that Chutz La'aretz, that's outside the land of Israel, that the exile represents, as the symbolically matches up with an indirect relationship to Hashem. Just one place where I think we might have mentioned this last time, but just maybe we'll now in a little bit more detail. The Torah in Parshas Ekev says that starting from Yud Aleph Yud, the Torah says that Hashem says that keep the mitzvos in order that you'll be able to have long lives on the land which I am giving you, this land which is an Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash, a land flowing with milk and honey. And then starting from Perek Yud, from Pasuk Yud, the Torah says, Ki ha'aretz asher ata basham alirishta, the land that you are coming to inherit, lo ke'aretz Mitzrayim hi, is not like the land of Egypt that you left, zar'acha v'hishkisa b'raglecha kegan hayarek, which you would plant and you would water it with your feet like a vegetable garden. In a minute what this means. V'aretz asher atem ovrim sham alirishta, the land that you are passing into to inherit. Eretz Harim Ubekos. It is a land of hills and valleys. Limitar Hashamayim Tishdamayim. And to the rain of heavens, it drinks water. It's watered by the rain. Eretz Asher Hashem Elokech Doresh Oso. It is a land that Hashem seeks out. Tumin Einei Hashem Elokech Ba Meireishis Hashana Ad Achris Hashana. The eyes of Hashem are always on it, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. So Rashi has one explanation of exactly what Hashem is saying in praising Eretz Yisrael with this description. But we're going to leave Rashi aside. The Ramban here says that the Mila, the lofty level of the land of Israel, which is being described here, is the following. In the land of Egypt, there's something called the Nile. And every year, or the season, however it works there, the Nile overflows, and it goes over the banks, and it waters all of the surrounding area, and fills all of their irrigation routes, all of their irrigation trenches, and then they have, basically, the water is from the Nile, and in order to water their fields, literally, they just have to kick open the channel, and the water goes into their fields. And there's a very reliable, constant source of water, which is, you know, the source of the basics for all life. There's a very constant, consistent source of that right there at all times. And with ease, you just go over and you distribute it, you apply it. However, in Eretz Yisrael is a land of hills and valleys. It's a land that doesn't have, you know, just a big river flowing through it, and even if it did, you know, to hills down to it. So what do you have to do? So how does Eretz Yisrael work? The rain falls on the mountains, and then from the mountains it comes and it fills the streams. But it's a land which relies on the rain. Relying on the rain is something that just because it's raining today doesn't mean that it's going to rain tomorrow, unless you live in Silver Spring, which seems to be raining every day now. But other than that, that just because it's raining now, so the rain is something which is every day, is it going to rain or is it not going to rain? It's a constant barama, it's a constant state of relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu to provide the rain. Every day you're going to have to renew your relationship with Hashem. Is He going to continue providing for you? It is, in a certain sense, a constant spiritual barometer of, are you in the right place or not? Hashem says that I'm bringing you to this land that's an incredible bracha, Zavas Chalavu Dvash, but it's a land that is a land which exists based on the spiritual relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a land where it is directly, you are directly face to face with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, with that relationship to God, in order to survive in this land. And that's the Mila, that's the loftiness of the land of Israel. That's not something which is a downside of living in Israel. That's something which is being described. Hashem is, this is the explanation of why you should want to have a long life to live in this land. Because this is a land with the closest connection to Hashem. That's what Eretz Yisrael is about. Eretz Yisrael, the nature of Eretz Yisrael is such that you're constantly in this direct relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, as opposed to the other lands, as opposed to Mitzrayim, for example, other places where it's Eretz Asher Tizra Zarech Vishkisa Baraglecha, that you water it with your feet, that you could, if you want to, look, you could see Hashem is not being involved. It's there all the time. You'll just get used to it. And says the Ramban, of course, if Hashem wanted, He could dry up the Nile. And of course, if Hashem wanted, He could destroy and obliterate all life in Egypt, and it's difficult for Him. The way in which things are, it's much more, so to speak, ready to change in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is relying constantly on what's going to be today. In Mitzrayim, there in Egypt, things are the way they are. If things could change, but there's a status quo in the land of, in the land of Egypt. The Ramban compares it to, you have someone sick and someone healthy. Both of them are alive because God is giving them life. But one of them, his life is in the balance. One of them has a much more direct relationship to, is he going to be alive today or tomorrow? If he's kept alive, as opposed to the person who's healthy. Of course, his health comes from God. But at the end of the day, he's maintaining a status quo. It's a, we discussed in the previous blessing, the of Rifa Enu, that that also, you know, of course, comes from a shaman. It's something that you can't take for granted, that you shouldn't take for granted, but it's something which is very easily taken for granted because a person can perceive this is status quo, things will stay the way they are because that's the way they are. That's the way the rest of the world is in relationship to Eretz Yisrael. The rest of the world is things are the way they are because that's the way they are. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with them is much more indirect. It's something that, you know what, if you're not looking for it, you don't have to see it. Eretz Yisrael represents the direct relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the relationship which is always obvious and present and constantly involved. The Ramban finishes, I just want to read the last part of the Ramban, read his words inside. The Ramban writes, on the final verse, which says, it's Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresh Osa Tamid, it's a land that Hashem always seeks out. That is how the Torah sums up this this description. So the Ramban writes, Umipnei She'amar Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresh Osa, the Torah writes, a land which Hashem seeks it out. The Ra'i She'yomar, really it should have said, seemingly it should have said, Ulematar Shamayim Tishnamayim, and the land will drink the water of the rain, will drink from the rainwater, will get its water. Ka'asher Hashem Elokech Yidrush Osa, when Hashem seeks it out. When Hashem seeks out the land of Israel, then it will get its rain. So, since that's what the Torah should have said, but instead, what did it say? Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresh Osa. This is a land that God seeks out. The Medrash comes, Chazal come, and they say, Yeh Medrash Rabosinu, Nirmaz Bekasov, that's hinted to the following idea, V'halo kol ha'aratzos hu doresh. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, God seeks out all lands. God is paying attention to the whole world. Shene'emar, as it says, Lahamtir al Eretz lo ish. That Hashem is looking at every land to make it rain, even in the rain, even lands that are uninhabited. Everywhere in the world, the rain comes because God is making it. Nothing just works on autopilot. Everything's under God's control. So says the Medrash. So why does the Torah to say that this is the land that God seeks out? Kibiyachol eino doresh ela osa, because as if Hashem only seeks out the land of Israel, only investigates, looks into, or is interested in the land of Israel, va'al yidei oso drisha, and through that investigation, shadoresh osa, that Hashem looks into Eretz Yisrael, doresh kol ha'aratzos. It's through that Hashem then moves on to the rest of the world. Tamid einei Hashem lo kechaba, liros mahi tzricha. Hashem's eyes are always on Eretz Yisrael to see what Eretz Yisrael needs, l'chadish b'gzeros, itim l'tovah, itim l'ra, and to respond to Eretz Yisrael according to the state of affairs as the people are in Eretz Yisrael. If they're doing Hashem's will, then he'll respond in that way, and if not, then he'll respond differently. V'yesh bo sod amok ki ha'aretz b'kol land is sought out, is looked after by Hashem for everything, v'hi ha'kol, and it really is everything. The kol ha'aratzos misparnasos mimena be'emes, and all other lands are sustained, are maintained, get their livelihood, get their needs through Eretz Yisrael, from it. So this is exactly the idea that we're discussing, that in our tefillah here, that says the Ramban, that every land only gets the attention paid to it, so to speak, is only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu first starts with Eretz Yisrael, and once he's involved with Eretz Yisrael, once he's involved with the land of Israel, so then he moves on, it spills over, so to speak, to the rest of the world. And that's why in this bracha, we don't ask directly for parnasa, for sustenance, for livelihood for the rest of the world, because the rest of the world does not have that direct relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The rest of the world is not representative of that direct relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Their bracha only comes, the blessing that comes to the rest of the world, only comes as a trickle-down bracha, as an indirect result of Hashem's direct involvement with Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, the direct request when we speak and we say, and we directly say that Hashem should bring about bracha, that kind of communication, that kind of relationship, really only fits with Eretz Yisrael, really only fits with the land of Israel. But the rest of the world, that it's inappropriate to for a direct request for the parnasa for the rest of the world. The rest of the world has its parnasa, has its livelihood, only on a level of its entire nature. The entire conceptual nature of the rest of the world is an indirect relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Sabeinu mituva, that we should be satisfied from its good, the good of specifically Eretz Yisrael, and through that, and as the result of that, the indirect effect of that will be that that's also a tefillah, that's also a prayer for the rest of us who are not in Eretz Yisrael, because once Hashem has the focuses on Eretz Yisrael and gives the bracha to Eretz Yisrael, so then that will that will trickle over to the rest of creation. That will trickle over to the rest of the world from there. I don't think we're gonna have time to finish tonight, so maybe we'll stop here. And next week we'll try to finish the bracha. So I will continue next week. And